Turn in your Bibles today, scripture lesson, which is taken from the book of Mark, first chapter, verses 4 through 11. And I'll be reading from the Common English Bible translation. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized as John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And about that time, Jesus came down from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. And while he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open, and the Spirit like a dove coming down upon him. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I started preparing for this sermon in one particular way, but as the week went on, I realized maybe I needed to prepare in a different way. It's sort of like that movie Jaws, if you saw that movie years ago, and I don't mean to be silly or to say silly things about serious things, but in that movie, the sheriff finally gets to see the really big shark, Jaws, and he says, "You're going to need a bigger boat." And so I thought of that as I was working on the sermon. I saw one need earlier in the week, but then I realized I was going to need a bigger sermon. This has been a challenging week for us. And I realize on one level that I made it challenging at the beginning of the week. I shared with the congregation via email that I would be in April going to begin a pastorate in Spokane, Washington, which means that I'll be resigning here at Hazelwood, and my final Sunday with you all will be Easter Sunday. Now, I know these things are never easy. They're never simple. And whenever a pastor moves on, it draws out a lot of different emotions, and there's feelings of abandonment and questions about the future. And all of that is normal and natural, but I also know that it's never easy. But let me just say, I appreciate so much all that you've given to me and my family, and I appreciate the good things that we've been able to do together, and I look forward to seeing from a distance the good things that will continue to happen here, and I know that they will, and I know God has good things in store for you, and I will celebrate those things even from afar. But I also know that a time of transition, whatever the transition, is never easy. Transitions are not easy parts of life. But then too, as the week went on, things happened that we never would have guessed we would see in our lifetime. An armed mob marches on the Capitol. Now, peaceful protest is the right of all Americans. There's nothing wrong with peaceful protest at all, not questioning that at all. But this mob overran the police, took control of the Capitol for a time. Lawmakers had to be rushed out and into a place of safety. Now, if you're like me, I watch that and I think, what is going on? I mean, is this the country in which I live? And I felt so sad for what took place and sad for those who encouraged such behavior and sad that what would have been just normal congressional proceedings, which would hardly make the news, became a heated thing. This on top of all of our continued challenges, the COVID pandemic and all the insecurity we've been dealing with for almost a year now. Now, we also have the good news of a vaccine being rolled out now, and that means a return to normalcy eventually, but how soon we get there, well, we don't know yet. And as we've gone through this week and even over the last few months, you probably thought, what is going on here? I mean, this is the life that we're living now? And I know normal life can be challenging, but with all of this, you wonder, are we going to make it through all of this? I had people tell me they had a hard time going to sleep on Wednesday night trying to make sense of all of the things that have happened. Now, it's easy, I know, to offer simple comfort. You know, it's very easy just to say, well, there, everything will be okay. There's nothing to worry about. And I'm not above offering that kind of comfort from time to time. I mean, sometimes we do need to hear that. And I believe that in the fullness, the finality of God's work, that all will be well, that we are living a good news story. I mean, and in the end, all is well. But that doesn't mean that we don't have work to do in the meantime. We do. We have work to do to maintain our faith and our democracy. We have work to do to see one another as neighbors in our country. We have work to do to make sure that hate is not the way of our civil discourse works. And so none of us are off the hook in that way. And because we are part of a democracy, that means all of us participate. All of us have work to do. All of us have ways that we can contribute in good ways or bad ways. But here's the good news. We do that work. We do that essential work as God's beloved children. Now, I know to say God loves you, that can come off as an easy answer, no matter how true it is. It can sometimes come off to sound like Pollyanna, to say, well, everything's going to be fine, when maybe everything isn't going to be that way. But I believe to say that God loves you is a life-changing, world-altering way of being in the world. We're here on the first Sunday after Epiphany, and usually on this Sunday, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. All the Gospels tell this story, that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he has this moment where he is baptized by John the Baptist. He goes out with all of the crowds who went out to hear John's preaching and to be baptized by him, and he's baptized. And as he's baptized, he has this beautiful moment where he hears these words from heaven. You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you, I find happiness. Jesus hears and knows and is affirmed again that he is God's beloved child. Now, I say this every year on this Sunday, but I'm sure as long as I'm a pastor, as I come to the Sunday, I'll probably say it every year because I believe we need to hear it again and again. In our baptism, too, when we are baptized, we know that belovedness as well. We know, too, that we are God's beloved children, that God looks upon each of us and says, I dearly love you. Now, I think that's hard for us to accept sometimes about ourselves. Sometimes we're the last to believe that. But I believe Christ came to give us that, to show us that, to open our way to that. And that, so that's true for all of us in our baptism, that we know that we are God's beloved children. And so the challenges of this world, and they are many, we deal with them as God's beloved. We treat one another, each other, as God's beloved children. We work for a better future knowing we are God's beloved children. There's a moment, if you're watching a movie, if you're at home, maybe you've sat down, you're settled in, maybe you got some popcorn and you press play on the remote, or if you're in a theater, and we'll get back to a time where we go to see movies and theaters again, there's that moment when after all of the previews are finally over, the lights darken and it gets really dark, and then the studio intro begins, and then the movie starts. And you think, how will this end? Or how will this begin? I mean, with Star Wars, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was thinking about Raiders of the Lost Ark. We get that image of Indiana Jones taking that golden idol from that cave. And as soon as he takes it, it triggers that big boulder that comes running, rolling down the cave after him. And he's running for his life to get out of the cave. And as a movie begins, it's kind of all of a way of telling us, okay, this is the kind of story we are going to tell. You know, when you see that boulder rolling down the cave after Indiana Jones, you know that this is probably not going to be a love story. At the beginning of Forrest Gump, where there's that feather that kind of gently floats down from on high, it takes a minute or two then to float all the way to the ground, and there's gentle music playing in the background, and then that feather eventually lands on Forrest Gump's foot, and he picks it up and he puts it in his briefcase. You know, as all of that is happening, that this is probably not going to be a Western shootout. How a story begins tells us, in a way, what kind of story we're going to hear. Now, the Bible tells Jesus' story four times. And we often forget that it's like we get four different movies about Jesus' life, four different versions, four different ways of telling us who Jesus is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all give us that story. It's interesting to me how each of them begin their story. Matthew starts with a genealogy. So-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, begat so, and it goes on and on like that for many verses, all of a way of telling this is where Jesus comes from. Luke starts with telling us about both the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus, kind of these parallel stories, as to say God's doing something really big with these two. The Gospel of John gives us this poetic description as Jesus as the Word of God made human. But Mark, what we heard today, his movie begins with the scene opening right upon John the Baptist preaching out in the wilderness, baptizing in the wilderness. And then in verse 9, Jesus shows up. Right there at the beginning, Jesus walks in. And it's adult Jesus, not Jesus in the manger, not the child just born, but adult Jesus ready to go. He's baptized by John. We don't hear a thing that Jesus says, do we? I mean, Jesus has not spoken a single word here. He just shows up in the wilderness there. He's baptized. But it's different from all of the other baptisms that John does. The heavens open up. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus as a dove. And then the voice from heaven. We haven't heard a peep yet from Jesus, have we? I mean, he hasn't spoken a single word, not a single line of dialogue yet. What we get here is what's spoken into Jesus' life. You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you, I find happiness. I wonder, what did this mean for Jesus? I mean, the rest of his ministry, the rest of his earthly ministry kind of rests upon these words. The rest of the story follows this affirmation of who he is, that he is God's child, God's beloved, that God finds happiness in him. And Jesus dealt with hard things, extreme things, challenging things, just as we do too. But yet he lived, he had that rest in himself, that sense of he is God's beloved. I try as a dad regularly to say, I love you. I'm proud of you. You make me happy. I don't know what these things mean to our little guy yet. I mean, you don't know how a little one makes sense of the world, but I say them often hoping that at the beginning of his story that he rests in these words. And that's what happens here with Jesus. As he begins, he hears that he's God's beloved. The preacher that we had who filled in for me back 11 months ago now when I was away, Nathan Wilson, he wrote about when he was in Switzerland as a part of an ecumenical education program, and he preached to the group on reconciliation. And he had a member of the group that came and talked with him and shared with him a friend of his. Her name was Mary, from the African country of Rwanda. And he said that during the Civil War in Rwanda, she served as a physician with the Red Cross. Now, during the war, two of Mary's children, her husband, both of her parents and two siblings were killed by the opposing tribe. And so she lost most of her family to that civil war. But since she was a physician sanctioned by the Red Cross, she had to provide care for every injured person, even if she knew that person was from that opposite tribe who had murdered her family. And Nathan said that she was talking with him. And she said to him, she said, Nathan, I had to trust in God's reconciling power. I had to give God's love all of the room in my heart and save nothing for hate. I had to. Otherwise, I could not live with myself. Now that's living as God's beloved in challenging times. We live in challenging times too, don't we? But let me tell you what she said to him. Give God's love all the room in your heart. Know that the first thing spoken into your heart and into your lives is God's love. Sisters and brothers, you are God's beloved child. Amen.